Our Old Testament scripture reading for this evening is from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 27 through 40. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 27 through 40. Beginning verse 27 here for the Word of God. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, to destroy and to afflict, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth search out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel. For all that they have done, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that the city shall be built for the Lord from the tower of Hananel to the corner gate. The surveyor's line shall again extend straight forward over the hill Gerib, though it shall turn toward Goath. And the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes and all the fields as far as the brook Kidron to the corner of the horse gate toward the east shall be holy to the Lord. It shall not be plucked up or thrown down any more forever. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Well, this particular passage that we have read here in Jeremiah speaks of this new covenant. But Jeremiah, remember, he's writing to Israel and Judah. He's writing to those who are in captivity, who are in exile. And so he really recounts in verses 27, he gives this great truth, this great hope that, behold, the days are coming where I will sow the house of Israel, the house of Judah. I will restore to the land. But then he kind of gives a history lesson in verse 28. I have watched over them. I've plucked up. I've broken down. I've thrown down to destroy, to afflict. But then he says, I will watch over them to build and to plant. Now, they had this idea, we see in verse 29, that somehow the fathers have eaten sour grapes and then the children have paid for it. And so they may have had this idea where, well, our fathers, they have done this and now we are paying for it. But God, he speaks to them and he says, no, this is not the case. He says, no more shall the man whose father has eaten the sour grapes. It is not he who will pay for his father's sin, but he himself will pay for his sin. And then he goes on in verses 31 and 32 and he talks about this covenant, that he will make this new covenant. He says, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not like the old covenant. This is a new covenant, but don't think of it as a new covenant as distinct from the old covenant. It's not new in its essence, but it's new in its expression and its expansion, you see. It's going out now into all the earth. This is talking about the new covenant, the covenant of the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's interesting to make a note here that at the end of verse 34 of this covenant, he says, I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. And what a great and glorious truth that is. But it's really, think about the contrast here. They were concerned about the sins of their fathers being placed upon them, of paying for someone else's sins. Not only does God say, That's not the case. But he says, I'm going to take away your sin. I'm going to give you a new heart, but I'm going to place your sins upon my Son. You see, this is the great truth of the new covenant. And this covenant is a secure covenant. Verses 35 through 37 speaks of the Lord, who is the one who gives the sun for light, who gives the stars. You see, He is the one who is the creator. And then He speaks of the creation. He says, as long as creation exists, my promises will exist and will be sure. And so that is the surety of the covenant. But what is the culmination of the covenant? The culmination of the covenant we see in verses 38 through 40, and this is really the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Okay, the days are coming that the city shall be built for the Lord. But this is not simply speaking of an earthly Jerusalem, is it? No, it is speaking of a heavenly Jerusalem, because it says that this will be built forever. So speaking of Zion, the church, and John, the apostle, in Revelation 21, he speaks of this. And listen to these words. He says, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And this is the promise that Jeremiah is alluding to here. This great promise of the new covenant, where God will restore all things for His people. Now let us respond now to this with our pastoral prayer, keeping in mind the needs of those that we know and of Christ's church around the world. Let's pray. Great God and Father in heaven, we come once again before You this evening. We come to worship You. We come as Your people who You have called out. You have called us to be Your people, and You have promised that You will be our God. You have promised to restore us fully into fellowship with You. For You are the covenant-keeping God, the God who will never leave us nor forsake us. Oh God, we come bearing the knowledge of the reality of our weakness, our need for Your grace. Oh God, we come and we pray that You would forgive us of our sins. We come as those who have fallen far short of Your glory. We come as those who drink iniquity as water. But oh Lord, Your grace abounds in such a way that sin, the sin of Your people, is covered simply for the sake of Your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we do ask, oh God, that You would, as You said in Jeremiah, remember our sins no more, simply for Christ's sake. And we pray for this evening worship service. We pray that as we read Your Word, as we sing Your praises, as we pray unto You, God, that You would then further sanctify us, that You would conform us into the image of Your Son, renew our hearts and our minds, that we might think Your thoughts, that we might love the things that You love, and learn to hate those things that You hate. We pray, O God, for those who could not be here with us this evening, for those who are, for whatever reason, facing various trials and illnesses. We do pray, God, that You would keep them, that You would watch over them. As we read in Psalm 23, that You, O God, as their shepherd, would cause them to lie down in green pastures, that You would ever be with them and guide them. We pray again for the situation with John, who is over in Africa. We pray, God, that You would work through whatever means is necessary to ensure that he is able to obtain a visa to come over here and join his wife in the United States. We pray, God, that You would be glorified in that, and that we would then turn that great answer to prayer into praise unto You, our great Heavenly Father. Oh God, we do also pray this evening for this congregation, for Christ Presbyterian, and all who worship here. We pray, God, that as this congregation looks for a new building, that You would bless that effort. that you would give the elders and the deacons wisdom in making decisions, that you would cause the right building to come at the right time, according to your purposes, God. So Lord, we pray for our country and our government. We pray for those who are elected and lead us. We pray, God, that you would cause them to lead this country in such a way that brings honor to your word, to your law. God, that our country would turn from wickedness and would turn unto you and would do things that are no longer an abomination to you, but rather pleasing in your sight. Well, Father, as we continue this evening worship service, give us your grace, give us your mercy, give us all things that we need for the sake of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.